All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, November 30th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. As always, you've been listening to us since the beginning of the season. You can still grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL, NBA, base projections for NHL, all covered under one subscription blanket. Free for 3 days and then just $34.95 a month after that. You're all good to go. We don't section it off by sport or who wrote the articles or provider or whatever the hell some of these other sites do when they want to just kind of tier you into packages. We don't do that.
Shots fired, dude.
Mostly just because we're lazy. Seems like a lot of work to make different tiers. It would be possible to figure out like what would be in what tier. I think at one point we did discuss different tiers. We might even have different tiers. I just promote the highest tier. Whatever. I don't know. Free for 3 days, $34.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go. All right. Week 13 in the NFL is upon us, and we are going to break down some cash game plays for FanDuel and DraftKings. Coming off a week where, you know, it was kind of Julio or bust for just cash in general, though, you know, there were some other guys that were able to get you home. This week kind of does seem like when I was writing up the article, I liked most of the positions except for quarterback. Quarterback was a position that I struggled a little bit with, and I think that the decisions here are going to be not what make or break folks on this main slate, but I do think you're going to see some ownership kind of all over the place. I mean, things tend to crystallize more into Sunday. You know, we're recording this on Thursday morning. But as of right now, I think between the two sites, you're going to see some kind of different plays. And then between even on those sites, I think you're going to see ownership spread out. The first guy I wrote up was Brady. I kind of hear just opted for most raw points. Something that's could be a cop out because and doesn't like completely factor into price. But among all the guys that I was kind of looking at in just terms of matchup and just what they've done this season, Brady seemed to be the safest, though it does. You are definitely paying for it right now. So on FanDuel, you're paying $9,300, and on DraftKings, you're up in the 8,000s. Do you think that this is the kind of guy in Brady that we would feel comfortable paying pretty much a max price for in cash, or does like the way he profile make that seem a little risky for you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's super risky. Brady's been very consistent, at least over the last three games, scoring 22 fantasy points to 25 in each of those. You know, Brady winds up being pretty touchdown dependent. In the last three games, he's had three or more touchdowns. He went through a five-game stretch where he had one or two touchdowns and wasn't really convincingly paying off this price. And then, of course, was excellent in the games prior to that to start the season. So I wouldn't say Brady is safe in a vacuum at this price point. But given the other options during the week, I mean, you pointed out, at least on DraftKings in particular, both Wentz and Wilson aren't available on the main slate. So getting safety at quarterback is a lot tougher this week than it has been previously. So I think, you know, if we compare Brady to the last 4 years of picking quarterbacks on any given Sunday, I wouldn't put him in the highest tier of safety there. But for this week, given the options we have available to us, I do think that's a safe thing to say.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we tend to, if you've been listening to us or reading articles, we do tend to favor running quarterbacks just in general, just because that is just running quarterbacks that can actually also throw. Like Russell Wilson, you know, obviously has been a guy that we've liked many, many weeks this season. And both he and Wentz on FanDuel are close. I can see that one of them sneaking in to cash games kind of that would be a thing where I'm going to take a look at some player props on Sunday morning because it's close with those guys. And the fact that they're both $1,000 cheaper, they both have to face good defenses. And so I don't know. I was a little and I also just kind of left them off because they weren't available on DraftKings. And I wanted to try to cover guys that were available on both sites in the main article. So this is where I even made a note in the article. I said this is the most quarterbacks I've kind of like highlighted or written up since this week because I just think there are a lot of guys to consider, and I think the decisions between the two sites are completely different. I think on FanDuel, which is typically correct, you're going to pay up for quarterback because the dollar amount spread isn't wide enough to really take on the risk at the bottom tier of quarterbacks. On DraftKings, it's different, but I'll get to some of those cheap guys in a second. The second guy I wrote up is Goff. Now, Goff is interesting here. He's cheaper. He's cheaper than Brady, Wilson, and Wentz. Now, only $100 cheaper than Wentz. The thing with him lately is that they've been completely willing to just pass all game long with him. Like, they have
37 or more passes in each of the last three.
If you look at the difference between his passing attempts at the beginning of the season and the end, in the second half of the season, it's definitely the old, like, training wheels are off kind of situation here for Goff. Training wheels are off for Goff. That rhymes. I want to use that. So what do you think? Not a great matchup here against Arizona, but I do believe he's just sort of a different quarterback than he was at the beginning of the season. High implied total for the Rams. Do you trust kind of what he's been doing in the passing game?
Yeah, trust, again, is somewhat of a strong word for a guy like Goff, who we have such a little track record for, especially given that his favorite target in Woods is out right now. He was able to do it with Kupp there last week against New Orleans. New Orleans, you know, with both their top-tier cornerbacks missing, was about as good a matchup as you could have hoped for, I would guess. You know, New Orleans generates more possessions for the opposing team, and there was a lot that went right, I guess, for him to have such a good game against them. That being said, the Rams having the third highest implied total on the slate definitely wants you to, or tips it in his favor a little bit. I mean, they also have a tremendous running back in Gurley, so you can't just go ahead and give him all the credit for those points that are going to be scored. So, you know, I would temper my enthusiasm for Goff just a little bit there, but I'm actually curious to know, because, and this is something that I was noticing when I was preparing for the pod today, there's actually a quarterback for exactly the same amount as Goff, actually $100 more. His team has a higher implied total and probably will be relying on the pass more given their matchup. Do you know who I'm talking about?
It's not Wentz. Oh, Rivers.
Yeah, Rivers. What do you hate about Phil Rivers, buddy? All the signs that you like about Goff are probably stronger for Rivers here.
Let me put it this way. This tier of guys, this second guy, was the guy that I was least confident about. I'm not like saying like I'm not apologizing for it here, but
I appreciate your apology.
There was a group in here, especially for fan, and I was mostly basing it on FanDuel pricing. There was a group here that I walked on the list, and it was Goff, it was Rivers. I even considered Alex Smith, because I have PTSD about that. I considered Derek Carr. We could talk about this. We're going to talk about on the game by game breakdown next week, or excuse me, tomorrow for when we break down all the games. I think there's going to be a lot of guys to discuss because I think there's a strong case for this entire group sort of in this tier. And right. I chose Goff just because of the passing attempts over the short term and what I thought they were going to end up doing. And it was like the least confident I felt about any of the guys. And I easily could have easily been Rivers or those other guys I mentioned. So, yeah, they're all good plays. We'll talk about them tomorrow. Let's go into some of the cheap guys. So on DraftKings, you're in a position this week where they've done a thing where there are some very, very, very cheap quarterbacks that you can consider. And in DraftKings, we've done this before. We've started the cheap quarterback in the past. Like, we started the Deshaun Watson when he was super cheap. It's a little different because he ended up kind of being a superstar. We started the Tyrod Taylors of the world just because there is a price floor at which not any quarterback is good, but there are certain quarterbacks that you can kind of get away with. I'm just going to give you the quick list here, and we don't need to go into super depth on each of these, but just to kind of discuss this as a cash game strategy. So the group I in descending order of price: Alex Smith at 5,900, Tyrod Taylor at 54, Brett Hundley at 51, and Mitch Trubisky at 45, which is completely rock bottom. But yeah. So let me I'll start with Smith. Well, first of all, let me just rewind. Going cheap at quarterback, could you see, giving this list of guys and some of their matchups, do you think this could be a way we would go in cash this week?
By Smith, I mean, I assume you meant Geno Smith, right?
We'll get into that in the game by game. I got a whole thing to say about that. I'm purposely waiting for that for the game by game. So don't worry about Geno Smith. No, Alex Smith.
So I guess my issue in breaking down the guys in this list, like Alex Smith, I think, you know, if you look at season totals, he looks pretty good. If you look at his last four games, he looks pretty damn bad on these prices. I mean, he's been, and you know, there's a tough matchup in there with Denver, but then pretty favorable matchups with Dallas, the Giants, and Buffalo. And given his performance against those teams, given Kareem Hunt's, you know, change into someone who's terrible, I don't feel terrific about Alex. But then it's really, I mean, it's not that cheap either, you know, like it's somewhat inexpensive, but it's also one of the cheaper prices we've had on him during the season. Do you want to play Alex Smith, I guess, is my roundabout question.
I could be talked into it. Mostly because he can still run. He still has the same weapons. And This is not like a terrible matchup. And they have a higher implied total. And again, 5,400, like the Jets are a bottom third defense. They still have a total. Now Vegas has been kind of fooled by them in the past. So I'm not totally convinced that like the Vegas total is the way to go in the Chiefs, but he still has, he still has Kelsey and Hill and the corpse of Kareem Hunt on his team. So I think because of the weapons he has, because of the matchup, and because it's, this is all, let me say this, this is all price dependent. $5,400 for a guy that can throw 33 passing attempts and like take off and rush five times, you know, on a decent game is, you have a that gives you a pretty high floor on that price. And that's kind of where I landed with all these guys. Like Tyrod Taylor the same way. They're going to be playing catch up. He runs a ton. He's not a terrible quarterback, even though they, you know, the Peterman starting thing aside, and at only $5,400, you figure he's going to have the ball in his hands a decent amount. Hundley was really good last week against, and I'm kind of just rolling through the, I'm just rolling through my thoughts. Yeah,
I like Smith better heads up against Taylor, by the way. I think if they're very, very similar, and I think Smith brings a higher floor there.
Yep, and then Hundley's coming off a very good game against the Steelers where he threw three touchdowns. He also will get out and run a little bit. He gets a much better matchup here against Tampa Bay. Like I said, all these things too is these guys are all very cheap and all have very good matchups against bad defenses. Like Tampa Bay is the 30th ranked DVOA defense in the league, right? So like all of a sudden you're getting a guy who has shown at least competency to be able to do something on an NFL field for close to the bottom. And then you get Mitch Trubisky against one of the best matchups you can have in DFS in San Francisco because they play super fast. Like they have in terms of like pace, they allow the most opponent plays per game, and he's the cheapest and he'll run too. So I wouldn't feel overwhelmingly confident about it, but I do think when it's all said and done, I very much see a scenario where we roll out one of these guys in cash just because of the price, and we kind of just hope to get there. And with some context to it, that again, they have good matchups. So that's kind of where I landed with these cheap guys.
Yeah, I think all that makes sense. I mean, looking at it more closely, actually, Hundley against Tampa Bay does seem like a pretty favorable spot. And the thing about it on DraftKings, too, is that the savings wind up really mattering. Like almost every week on DraftKings, you wind up having to sit there and be like, well, I do want to play this one really good, obvious, expensive play, but that means I got to play a running back for $3,400. Ooh, you know? Mm-hmm. And Hundley, basically all three of these guys really alleviate that price pressure. So, yeah, I think they probably are worth a closer look.
Yeah, and that's exactly where it was. It's like, do I want to go double cheap at tight end, or do I want to have a cheap quarterback and a good matchup and just kind of pay for safety in all the other spots? Because I think you actually are incentivized this week, we'll go into running backs, to pay for some of the running backs that are at the top of the tier. So the guys I wrote up here, the first one is Todd Gurley. He faces Arizona. I think with the way the Rams are kind of lining up, a Rams sort of stack here, even against an Arizona defense that's pretty stout, a Rams stack does seem to be probably in the works. And as we get into wide receiver, we'll kind of talk about that as well. What are your thoughts on Gurley? He's getting expensive, $8,800 and $8,200 on FanDuel, $8,200 on DraftKings. Usage seems like it's there. Not the best matchup, but among all of the top kind of upper priced running backs, he felt to me like the one I was most willing to probably roster.
Yeah, I think Gurley is a great play this week. I'm a little bit concerned about the lack of usage in the last 3 weeks. There have been some game script issues there. And I do love the overall total for the Rams and for Gurley this week. So I think, you know, it's a little awkward buying him at these pretty high prices, given that the biggest thing he brought to the table was his incredible opportunity, I guess. I mean, he's been fairly good on a yards per touch basis, but definitely has some stinkers in there as well. But yeah, no, I think Gurley is the obvious big money play. And then I would be surprised if we didn't wind up sneaking his way into cash game lineups for us this week.
Arizona is slightly better against the pass than they are against the run. They're slightly better against the run than the pass. Again, I'm mostly looking for volume here, especially in the passing game as well, where I do think they're going to have some issues, maybe just with some of the cover guys. It is a premium to pay, but he is a PPR kind of guy, so I think you can stomach it also on DraftKings as well. And the other guy I wrote up here in this upper tier was Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon, kind of the same thing, much better matchup though. Melvin Gordon, he plays Cleveland, and I know for a fact, I know that we've talked about how, you know, Cleveland for a while this season had ranked pretty high on DVOA in terms of the run. They ranked second, but this is almost all just schedule based, right? Like when you look back at the running backs that they have played, they've barely played a running back this season. And then last week, they're coming off a week where Joe Mixon just had his best game of the year against them. So I think when you're looking at, if you're looking at DVOA or it's just even at really a lot of rushing metrics, Cleveland's going to look really good on paper. I'm just not buying it at all, just based on, again, they have not played anyone you would consider to be, except for Le'Veon Bell in week one. And that was Le'Veon Bell where I hadn't even done any preseason work. They haven't played anyone in the top tier of running backs. Do you trust Gordon in this situation? He's had some usage concerns in the short term as well.
So I have a slight bone to pick with your analysis there, because I totally agree with you that in terms of overall skill, this is a point we've been making for several weeks. Probably 5 or 6 weeks we've been talking about this on the podcast. So you know that I agree in terms of Cleveland's overall talent. But one thing that situations like this can do is they can become a self-fulfilling prophecy where opposing teams, like if they're not savvy enough to understand why Cleveland's yards per attempt allowed have been so low. And, you know, they probably are, I assume, but you have to figure that some percentage of teams are going to shave off a few carries here and there based on the perception that Cleveland has been a lot worse against the pass this season. So I think it can have a negative impact on opposing running backs' opportunity. And for a guy like Gordon, that's already having some concerns about opportunity from my perspective, like, you know, to say nothing of the fact that Eckler's just been good when he's come in, Gordon's overall touches kind of trending down, and he just continues. I mean, he's got a whole career of this, but it gets worse as he gets tired, I think, towards the end of the season, of just even when the volume is there being pretty darn inefficient. So like, put head to head, I would obviously much rather play Gurley. I know you don't get that choice at the exact same price tier, but if you figure you can play, and maybe you can play two expensive running backs, but if I have to pick between two expensive running backs, I'm certainly going to take Gurley in that spot.
Yeah, honestly, the volume concerns were a concern for almost all the guys I was considering this week. We'll talk more about this in the game-by-game breakdown. But like, Jordan Howard is a guy I would like in this matchup. He's had some volume stuff in the recent weeks. Leonard Fournette has seen his carry. He actually was just out-snapped by T.J. Yeldon last week. So take that for what it was. You have McCoy going against just in a game where they're likely to be losing by a lot. And then you have Alvin Kamara, who we talked about in depth on Tuesday in our week 12 breakdown, where I get that he's been amazing. And do you want to pay the same price for Kamara as you would for Gurley, and when he's going to theoretically touch the ball 15 times less, right? So it's like, or, you know, 10 times less or something.
So compare Gordon. And I know this is a guy who was on your list too, but just look at his last like three games and compare them to Jamal Williams' last three games. And they are
Jamal Williams just
effectively identical.
Except Jamal Williams is the next guy I wrote up.
That's why I don't want to play two expensive running backs, because I think Williams is probably the best running back play on the slate. And it probably isn't even that close. You know, the great matchup with Tampa Bay, we just saw Tevin Coleman put up a huge game against them. You know, his touches seem relatively secure. They don't really have anyone behind him. And, you know, with Gordon and even Gurley, frankly, having their own volume concerns, like, I wouldn't be shocked if Williams just had greater volume than either of those two guys this week. And at 5,700, he's criminally cheap on a site that's been catching up on prices more quickly this season. So,
Yep, definitely. And I buried the lead a little bit by not just having him the first guy. When you run FanDuel lineups right now, you get like basically 50% Gurley, 50% Gordon, and 100% Williams I said the double expensive thing, because what I was talking about, and I didn't specify this, but I was talking about DraftKings, where you have Gurley, Gordon, and then Jamal Williams in the flex, right? So like, that's where I kind of, when I was saying double expensive at DraftKings, or excuse me, double expensive at running back, I was referring to that. No, right now, Jamal Williams, as of right now, Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones have still not practiced. They haven't touched, neither of these guys have touched the field in weeks. I'd really, really be surprised if both of them played. I mean, I think the guy that's closer to playing is probably Montgomery, and I still think that he's probably trending closer to doubtful. If that's the case, then Williams is going to be a complete chalk play on FanDuel, probably on both sites, where the price has just really not moved, only 4,700. And I probably should have just led the list with him. My only concern was, if one of the two of Jones and Montgomery do come back, then Williams becomes pretty ineffective. Like, he would definitely lose some of the third down responsibilities, you would think. And I think they would just probably go more running back by committee. And so we're just going to probably sit here and hope. that he's the lone back again, and he'll be, yes, clearly the chalk play. And why
that's a good point, though. If we get news that one of those guys is going to come back and back him up, does that sour the taste? I mean, because he's such an excellent play right now that he can stand to probably lose some of the luster, but would that be enough for you to want to move off him?
It depends who it was. If it was Ty Montgomery, I'd be more willing to stay with him. If it was Aaron Jones, I'd be worried, because Jones does profile more as just like a strict, like, first down through third down running back, or for at least first and second down running back, that wasn't really kind of Ty's thing. I think if it was Jones coming back, I'd be concerned. And if Ty was coming back, I would just think that they probably would keep Jamal in the mix. I think it's going to depend. So I'm just going to kind of wait and see, and just at least right now, just hope that it doesn't happen. All right. Before we get to the wide receivers, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go and play cash game formats like you're used to, big salary cap games, so on and so forth, without being up against those big money players that are putting in hundreds of lineups each week. So we recommend it to our users who play between $5 and, say, $100 per slate or per night. Really good place to go and get money in that way. You know, they're really slick software, very trustworthy, good reputation. They've been advertising with us for years, so I don't think they're going anywhere. FantasyFactor.com to get started today.
At wide receiver, I think people are going to be deciding here between Keenan Allen and Julio Jones. I wrote up Keenan Allen. It could have easily been Jones. I probably just should have written up both of the expensive
guys. Has there ever been more of a DFSR moment than having to decide between Keenan Allen and Julio Jones? I feel like that's just like our whole...
Well, explain what you mean by that, because I think you're completely... Well, yeah, completely correct. Explain what you mean by why this is. This is the quintessential moment on DFSR history about what to do when if you can't play these two expensive... if you can't play these two expensive wide receivers... why specifically for us this would be a moment.
Well, it's funny because, well, so with Keenan Allen, for starters, he's a guy that our system just has loved for, I don't know, 3 years. Is that safe to say? And he's rarely lived into the expectations that we've had for him. And it's always felt like bad luck. Like, I feel like when we make bad calls and, you know, internally, we're at least able to look and say like, oh, well, we missed this factor or we overweighted this or did whatever. And with Keenan Allen, we've sat there for years and just looked and we've had these little tastes. He starts out the season with double digit targets averaging through the first 6 weeks. Then he has this weird 7-5-7 target stretch. And then we managed to capture the lightning in a bottle, actually get one of Keenan Allen's great weeks against Buffalo. And then I think he becomes too expensive for us last week against Dallas. But he's just been a guy that our system has always loved. And meanwhile, you have Julio Jones on the other side, who our system has just basically always hated. Like, it doesn't really matter what he's up to. He'll be a 70% start. We'll just ignore him completely. He's not in any of the top 50 lineups. Now, oftentimes that works out great with fading Julio, by the way. I think in aggregate, we've probably made a lot of money not playing Julio Jones, except for we've also, I think the two really huge games that I can remember from him, we've been on the losing side of him being chalk in those games too. So I just know that Jones is going to have huge ownership this week. 8,600, the price hasn't gone up much. Obviously coming off his all-time game. And I think it's probably unlikely that we'll have him. And then we'll just feel sick to our stomachs when we see that 50% start. And we might win, we might not. But that's when I saw Allen at the top of that, I just had to shake my head being like, oh, man.
Didn't feel
like,
great.
Pick the same players that everyone plays 1 week like that. I don't know. But.
Well, both of them, I mean, see, here's the thing. Both of them are getting, like, what for them, not great matchups. I mean, he's going to be, Jones is going to be shadow covered by Xavier Rhodes. And Keenan Allen's likely going to be shadowed by Jason McCourty, although I'm not totally positive about that because they haven't they haven't like moved McCourty into the slot a lot. So this is actually the other reason I chose Allen over him. So if Jones is going to get shadow coverage from one of the better cover corners in football in Xavier Rhodes, and then the way Allen lines up, we've talked a lot this season about how the slot receiver has had advantages this year because a lot of teams' best cornerbacks, they just don't move them into the slot to cover. Very, very rarely does that happen. And that has not really happened with McCourty and Cleveland. And that's the other reason I kind of defaulted here to Allen, because he's just going to avoid their best guy. And so Jones is going to have their best guy and Allen's going to avoid their best guy. And that's kind of where I landed with him. And I just think Allen's week-to-week targets are just more steady than Jones. And I get that Jones had 15 targets last week and was just like a man among boys. I'm with you. It's not going to feel good. I think we're going to probably – I mean, ultimately, we might end up where we're not on either. It's very close in terms of the projections right now. It's basically a coin flip. I think we are going to probably have to end up deciding if one or two of them are close, we're just going to end up having to decide between them. Allen is also just a tick cheaper on DraftKings, 300 less. So this is all to say – and he's 500 less on FanDuel, and sometimes that kind of thing matters. And I don't feel great about it. Other wide receivers I wrote up here, wrote up the Kupp Watkins tandem for LA. These guys saw big increases in targets last week as we thought they would with Robert Woods on the shelf. Kupp with a better matchup of the two because it looks like Watkins is going to draw the Patrick Peterson coverage here. Although he's still, even with that factored in, Watkins still looks okay for the price where he's only 6,400 on FanDuel and 5,200 on DraftKings. I think we clearly prefer Kupp in this matchup, but could you see rostering both in cash games?
Yeah, I mean, I dramatically prefer Kupp here. I think his profiles is so much more consistent, not only the targets as they've come down so far this season, but also just his overall career targets to receptions conversion rate. Watkins has historically been one of these guys in like the T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans sort of class where converting targets into receptions is sort of the bugaboo. It's why he's been kicked around from teams, why he hasn't really landed as the overall number one wide receiver that people projected him as coming out of college. So I am a little bit more concerned about Watkins. That being said, the price is still pretty cheap, and we saw how they redistributed the targets from Woods last week. So if you think that was real, then maybe he is a consideration. But I think for my money, given that he is going to be covered by Peterson, given that he has an inconsistent pass, given that we only have 1 week of him having nine targets, and I think Goff, you know, while he's been playing pretty effectively, you know, young quarterbacks tend, and this is just totally anecdotal, but in my observation, young quarterbacks tend not to just go after these ace level shutdown corners as much. Like, I think him taking some comfort and just dumping down a Kupp seems more likely in my mind. So yeah, I would prioritize Kupp. I probably would rather not play Watkins. And if it came down to it and it was just a price thing, he's still an overall good play at 6,400. But yeah, I would just as soon play Kupp and move on from this team.
Yeah, and let me say this about Watkins. Watkins, he's more for me a DraftKings play where he's 1,200 less. He's only 5,200 on DraftKings. So his DraftKings price is much more enticing. Kupp, thought an interesting stat about Kupp, fifth in the NFL in red zone targets this year for wide receivers. That's and nice. The fact that he hasn't scored a ton of touchdowns means that there's probably some kind of waiting for him. If
he's just too cheap. He's just a great play.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be a chalk play again on FanDuel, I'm sure, probably on both sites. Although, again, he's getting a little bit expensive on DraftKings. The other guy to consider there, we'll talk about this in the game by Green, is Josh Reynolds. If you think that Watkins is going to draw all the coverage here away from or on the Peterson and he's just going to be completely blanketed, Reynolds did see six targets last week and was able to convert one into a touchdown. So could be a nice cheap play if you think that Watkins is going to.
It could be. I personally hate this. This is the style of play that I hate the most. Like the guy who just is totally invisible, gets a few targets in one game, especially if he scores a touchdown, which makes the overall line seem so much better. Like, I don't know. For me, I would not consider playing Reynolds really in any format. I mean, I guess you could consider it as part of like a Goff two wide receiver stack for big tournaments, given the Rams total, but that one's probably not for me.
I also wrote, we could keep moving here. I wrote up Brandon Cooks. He's been very, very good over the short term. He's been rounding into more of a target guy for Brady. And I think that's just a really good spot to be. He's in a mid-tier price. So if you wanted to pay down a little bit from the Jones and Allen group, I don't mind pivoting to Cooks, though. I probably would want to prioritize paying up for those two guys at the top. And then you're going to want to take a look out for the Oakland wide receivers because they're without both Cooper and Crabtree. So I put them to very strongly consider both Roberts and Cordarrelle Patterson, where they're both coming very, very cheap. And that's a lot of targets against the Giants secondary that's without Janoris Jenkins right now. So there's just a lot to consider. And then I also just said consider Davante Adams. A lot of good receivers that you can consider this week. Let's finish it off with tight end. Tight end, I think you're getting so much. I think you potentially get so much value in the middle tier of wide receivers that it could be a case where you could spend up at tight end. I wrote up Kelsey here against the Jets. I still kind of believe in the targets that he's been seeing. He had a down week last week, but overall the targets for him are completely elite. And his price, I think, is the lowest that we've seen in the last like 5 weeks. Do you think paying $7,000 for him on FanDuel is in the cards this week, considering that we might be able to go kind of cheap across the board at wide receiver?
Yeah, it's justifiable for sure. I mean, I think when you play Kelsey, you understand that there are going to be some seven target games in there, and that's just kind of what you get. But I think to your point about how much money is freed up in the lower tiers at wide receiver, I don't mind spending up for him, especially because in that, like if you just look at what the flat exchange is, like going down from Kelsey into these other tight ends that are a little bit cheaper, I don't really feel like you're going to feel great either. Like you go down to what, Kyle Rudolph or Delanie Walker. Like those are the kind of wide receivers or tight ends that are in the same price tier as guys like, you know, Jamal Williams at running back or Cooper Kupp and Sammy Watkins at wide receiver. So I think if you compare them in that same price range to those other guys, you're feeling pretty like you've got the good end of things. And then likewise at the $7,000 wide receiver tier, I don't see a lot of value either. You know, Stephon Diggs or T.Y. Hilton, even Golden Tate, you know, like none of these guys are really jumping off the page for me. So I think for that reason, I could see kind of doing that flop this week, going a little bit more expensive at tight end and getting savings elsewhere.
Yeah, and like I said, these things tend to shake themselves out coming closer to Sunday when we get a little bit more injury news. The last guy I wrote up, Jared Cook here, facing a Giants defense that has, for the season, been very bad against tight ends, though they did shut down Vernon Davis for a 0-0-0 line last week. Sure. So take that for what you will. But Cook straight kind of fits into that same group as Cordarrelle Patterson and Seth Roberts, where there's just a lot of targets to go around now. Yeah. And he is a guy that Derek Carr has targeted this season, around 6 targets per game. Do you think maybe pivoting down to him in that 5,500 range, 54 on DraftKings, makes sense considering the matchup and just what the Raiders passing game could be doing this week?
Yeah, just I mean, if the Raiders intend to pass at all, you have to figure that Cook will be a featured member of that attack. Certainly the most targeted guy, even when the big two were still there. You know, sometimes I wonder about how many targets get freed up for these kind of second thought tight ends like Cook. Like, they don't, in my estimation, they don't really run a lot of plays specifically for Cook. He's just, when they run the tight end play, he gets the pass. When they need 6 yards, they pass to the tight end or whatever. So I don't know that Crabtree and Cooper's target, like Cooper, none of the plays that were going to be run for Cooper are going to go to Cook. But for Crabtree, they very well could. And it doesn't take much of a bump on what his sort of average target expectation was. Call it 6 targets a game. If you bring that up to like 7, 7.5, all of a sudden you have a pretty good play on your hands. So yeah, I think for those reasons, the fact that we have seen multiple 100-yard weeks in the last 5 weeks, I think that he will be probably the highest owned tight end in this price tier.
Yeah, I suspect that the same. All right, we're going to get out of here. DFSR.com/NBA gets you a free 3-day trial to our projection system. Go check that out. Free for 3 days, then just $29.95 a month after that. We'll be back again tomorrow doing a full game-by-game breakdown where we just take a look at every game and kind of some of the more fantasy, some more fantasy implications from each of those. Buddy, talk to you tomorrow.
Later, Gator.